Set out to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the break of the water, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away. And those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until the nation finished passing over the Jordan. We have a choice between cowardice or courage in the life of faith. If we believe that what God wrote here in the third chapter of the book of Joshua is for us today, and not just telling us about history, it is history, but it is his story, and there are lessons here for us, lessons of faith. Now, I suggested that I think most would agree, if not all, that Joshua was probably not a born leader. He was not someone that would have been elected in a primary. But I don't think he would have been elected. He was chosen by God to be the leader of God's people, kind of a quiet, unassuming man, and we've seen from all the accounts and all the things that we know about it in the scriptures. An ordinary person. Yet God used him to demonstrate the courage of faith. Now, it's not the lesson for us that we can be like Joshua. If we will step out in faith, believing that God is a big God, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we're going to look this morning at some lessons, further lessons, that we can learn from Joshua's life that will give us courageous faith. And I want to suggest to you that first there must be a visualization in faith. And in that visualization, now visualization means that we have the vision put before us of what God is going to do. It hasn't happened yet, but yet in our hearts there begins to beat this desire that these things would be accomplished in our lives. And it's what I believe Joshua, God is doing here through Joshua and through his word, because we're reading this today. It's his word, isn't it? In verse 3, Joshua said to the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant, you shall follow it. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Now they were standing on the shore of the River Jordan, standing on the bank. It was in flood stage. We read about it. It wasn't the little trickle of water that Jordan could become in the dry seasons. Now there's some lessons there for us. You know, why does God do that? Why does God do that to his people? Why doesn't he wait until a better season of the year to cross that Jordan? Well, it's exactly why God calls us to do the impossible. Because it takes faith. Otherwise, we might think, well, you know, we could have done that ourselves. We could have found a better way to cross that Jordan River than to cross it at flood stage at this time of the year. I mean, why does God do this? Well, it's, again, I believe, a lesson of faith for us. Visualization, it's word we can learn from. The word that God has given us here through Joshua. Now, we have been given instructions, just as soldiers in an army. We are in the Lord's army. If you know Jesus and you have surrendered your life to follow him, he has called you to obey his word. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And so there's a word. What does that suggest to me? Well, it suggests to me that this is a word that I must listen to. I'm speaking of the Bible. All of us should have our own copy of the Bible. It's so available. It's such a blessing that we have this precious book. And yet, too often it just gathers dust on a shelf somewhere. So we need to take it down, read it, listen to it. Allow God to put that vision in our minds and in our hearts of what he wants us to do, or what he wants rather to do through us. There's a work that he calls us to. Before God can do any great work, there has to be a great seeking of him on the part of God's people. And I believe this is what Joshua meant when he said, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate means that we recognize that we've been created for a holy purpose. And that holy purpose is to glorify God in our lives. Now this thing wasn't done in a corner. I mean, this wasn't an event that escaped the notice of the peoples of that generation. I mean, there were people on the hillsides all around watching what this vast people was going to do that were gathered down on the Jordan Plain. I think it's helpful to try to visualize that in our minds, that there were witnesses and there are people watching us to see if we are true to our profession. And if we will step out by faith and obey God, there's a way. The scriptures say, God says through Isaiah, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And what that says to me is that God wants to speak to us through his word. The people must have been listening to Joshua here. Really, God speaking through Joshua, giving these instructions, getting this vision of what God wanted them to do. Even though there were fears and wonderings, well, is this crazy? Well, is it crazy? I think it seems crazy to me. I'm sure there were thoughts like that across people's minds. And yet, they went forward in faith. So there's the lesson of visualization here, I believe. And secondly, there's a lesson I want to suggest of mobilization. In verse 6, we read that Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. And so they went before the people. So I think we've got the picture there, haven't we, of the people gathered on the east bank of the Jordan River. Really, it was a floodplain there, so the river was at flood stage. Very turbulent, I'm sure, muddy, churning waters, swirling waters in that river. People couldn't help but see that river right before them. I mean, you couldn't ignore it. But they began to be mobilized. And there was a call, first of all. They didn't say, now, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. Joshua's. I began to wonder, and I don't know that I've wondered before today, wondered where in the world did that phrase come from, or that expression. Josh, I don't know, are you familiar with that? You're joshing me. In other words, you're fibbing. You're not telling the truth. You're telling a story. Can't be true. Maybe it came from this. Maybe someone thought of Joshua here telling this story of something that hadn't happened yet. Calling people to do something really stupid. People like to do stupid things for them. They seem to, they like putting it on YouTube and bungee jumping off of high bridges into deep canyons, things like that. Well, this is even more suicidal than that. To take a whole nation across the flooded Jordan River. Now, I know the Jordan River isn't very big most of the year. But we're told here that the river was in flood stage and that it would overflow its banks. So there was this call to go forward. And there was a command. So far, and that's, I've got the wrong notion. I think this is for the next point. I don't know how I got that mixed up. But I probably have this these subpoints on the next major point here. But anyway, it's supposed to be a command. So if you're taking notes, number two there of the mobilization is command. And so far as we know, no one stayed behind. No one balked at the water's edge. Now, isn't that remarkable? That here's a nation of maybe a couple million people gathered there on the Jordan River plain there. And so far as we know, not one said, well, I'm gonna wait. I'm going to wait until the water subsides a bit. I mean, it makes more sense to me. I mean, we can maybe imagine that someone must have said that, but so far as we know, no one said that. And I don't really think that they did, because here is God's people going forward, an army going forward with God in faith. There was a command. There was courage. Incidentally, that should be courage, not victory. But incidentally, I remember Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, could there be someone who maybe circumvented that plan to go across the Jordan River at that time and at that place and somehow made his or her way into the promised land? Well, I suppose it's possible. But I think the fact that we're not told that and we can only assume that everyone went forward is, I think, to verify what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we can kind of decide on our own that we're going to come to God another way. We're going to believe in another faith. We're going to have a different faith than the faith of the Bible. I mean, you can imagine the disaster that there would have been to the Israelite people. If they'd all decided, well, I'm going to go my own way. And would they just kind of scattered out and they went their own way. No, it's why God calls us to be a part of his body, the church. Because we need one another. We need the mutual encouragement of one another. If nothing else, we need to be stuck in the middle of that crowd so that we're pushed along across that great divide of between unbelief and faith. So may we be like that. May we go forward in courage. Do you remember Thomas saying, Thomas, one of the disciples, later known as Doubting Thomas, he's not called that in the Bible, but he's the one who doubted whether Jesus was really risen. He said, I won't believe unless I put my finger in the nail prints in his hand, put my hand in his side where the spear was thrust into Jesus' side on the cross. And he said, I won't believe unless I actually see. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now, isn't that the faith, exactly the faith that God is teaching us about here? I believe it is. That it's really what defines faith. Because if it were really sight, then there's no faith in that. And so they went forward in faith and victory. But now we're going to look at venture. The realization means when faith becomes sight. When we actually believe God, we go forward in faith, and we find that the waters are miraculously cut off, and God makes a way before us. So there's a venture. I'm sure we've all heard the statement, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Now, we might think that's in the Bible. As far as I know, it's not in the Bible, at least in that wording, at least. But I think it is a biblical concept. That when we venture with Christ, now that, there is something that's left out, and that's it. When we venture with Christ, that means when we step into the river. Now the priests were to be the leaders of the people, and the people were to be right behind them. Now we might think, well, I could do that. Now, let the priest be swept away in the flood waters, and then we'll know that he's stupid enough to step into the water. But what if they stepped out into that water? Now that river was very wide because it was in flood stage. And what if the waters decided they're going to come back? I mean, they could come back like a tsunami, all pent up, and catastrophic for the whole nation. It could be a disaster that they had not foreseen. So it still took faith for them to do what they did. And I think too of Peter in the New Testament. You remember how Jesus said to them, when Jesus came walking to the disciples on the water, Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come to you on the water. It's a statement that only Peter could make. I mean, kind of figure that one out. But I think it showed that here was a man who really wanted to believe God, really wanted to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, that what he was seeing was not just a figment of his imagination or mass hallucination. And so when Jesus said, step out of the boat, Peter did it. And he found that he could walk on water. Now, I don't know that God is going to call, make us walk on the water. I don't think it would be a wise thing to do here. There's no place to go to this, I guess, far away. If we're not right across, we don't have the promised land right across the way from us. But in a sense, we do. Because we are all, I trust, if you know Jesus as your Savior, on that upward journey. And one day we must cross that river of death. We don't know what it's going to be like. We try not to think about it, but yet we know it's coming. And it's why we need that faith that Jesus said that without it, we cannot please Him. And we need to have Jesus in our lives. We need to know Him as our Savior. So I want to encourage us to have that courage of faith, or rather that venture, of that verity. I'm sorry, it should be verity, V-E-R-I-T-Y. Maybe this is on the last note, the last point. But it just means that when they believed and they stepped out in faith, it says the waters were cut off. Does that not say to us that we need to step out? We need to believe God. Now, I can think of some examples in my own life. I think each day there are situations like that call me to step out of that comfort zone that I have and to obey God. I think certainly in the area of witnessing, telling someone about Jesus, and letting that person know what Jesus means to me, and there are many ways that we can do that. But it takes faith. It takes obeying God's word. And when we do, we'll find that God makes the way before us. So does that seem to make sense to you in your own life right now? I know that we're all faced with our different struggles, our private struggles in our lives. Some, you know, with loneliness, for example, or just a temptation that just seems to, that we just can't seem to have victory over. Perhaps it's just feeling like a failure in our Christian lives. And we just wonder if God can really use us. So may we be like the people who obey God's word through Joshua. May we go forward, find that God is true to his word, and that there is victory. So when they stepped out, they experienced victory. But just a foretaste of the victory to come, which the Bible tells us about in the book of Hebrews and in other places too, where it shows Joshua to be a hero of faith. I think it's what set him apart from his generation, much like Abraham and others that we know in the Old Testament who were people of faith. They were very ordinary people, but what set them apart was their faith. We know of Abraham that the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So I believe it's what distinguished Joshua in his generation. He went forward in faith and he encouraged others to come along with him in this mighty army that God calls us to be a part of. This army of God who are obedient to the command of our great captain of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.